do have a fun packed agenda.
Yay.
So, this is so different. This is where I'm still adjusting to the new paradigm here. So let's go around and do introductions. And we're all very familiar with each other.
Well, let's start.
Gavin Hatchcroft, HIV.
Who are you with?
Where are you from?
M-U-D-D.
Charles Theron, Council Co-Chair.
Chuck Adams, Council
Liz Stamm, Council Staff.
Ali Cohn, Council Staff.
And José Luis Guzman, Chuck Staff. Moving right along. So review and approval of the August 4th draft agenda. Can you believe it's August already?
Yes.
Is there any changes that you guys see needed? Seeing and hearing none, can we approve the agenda?
Yes.
Yes. Review and approval of the July 7th minutes. Give you a moment to look over those.
Is Kevin really here?
I'm actually here. I don't know mentally.
Physically.
Kevin was here.
Motion is second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Any the no's or abstentions? Nope. Okay, pass. Any announcements?
Nothing else. It's colder than there. Is this truly summer?
It is San Francisco summer.
San Francisco summer.
You of all people
today.
Should know this.
I should know.
I'm sorry about this dark room. It's looking very desolate today. You can turn on more lights at any point.
Okay, no other announcements? Any public comment? See none? Move along? Okay. Yeah.
So we've been in session 15 minutes now.
Okay, so let's start going through the policies and procedure review. So I'm going to turn this over to Ali.
So this time we just brought the packet. I think that we're anticipating that hopefully maybe by next meeting or the following, we'll start bringing what we've done in a format that's workable for our new P&P manual. So what we put together this time is a lot of policies that were in the last month's version, but we're prioritizing the policies that are relevant to the summit. So just as with committees this month, everything is about the summit. So we started with two CARE policies that were around prioritization and resource allocation and unfunds, both of which we'll be looking at in committees and at the summit, and then also the CDC letter of concurrence process. So we can just dive right in. Page two. So this process is basically a calendar. I'm not sure if this is the structure that folks want to keep, but it goes over what's essential to happen during the year to prepare us for the real mandate of our real HRSA mandate, which is around allocating funds and prioritizing service categories.
So what I might need is Ellie. They fix it because it's not changing any, it's just adapting the wordage so it includes everybody. And rather than saying that like it's the main purpose, it's one of the main purposes, right? Otherwise, it's pretty much all the same. Yeah.
So, what we do already have is like our mandate, which is in our bylaws. there are some parts of this policy that I think have some value still. So, for example, the idea that recommendations for prioritization and resource allocation happen in August. I don't think that we have anything that says that our, just like our timeline for when the summit usually happens.
So where would this
and
fall
then also this September through December section.
So in for new council members who are just coming on board, being able to see this, isn't this a good snapshot? Isn't there a place for this to go under, I can't remember what committee?
The presentation calendar is sort of something which goes under council affairs.
So in the past, was this just sitting out by itself somewhere to describe? Is there a logical place to put it in the new?
I think it was actually in the policies and procedures manual for the care council.
Right.
So other than that, it didn't live.
Right, but I'm
anywhere,
just saying,
right?
Is there a logical place to put it in the new combined? Mm-hmm. Because I think the concept is a good concept. If I'm coming on board and I keep hearing people say, priority setting, resource allocation. You know, for me to be able to see this is kind of a generic good thing, I would think. It's all still relevant.
It is a little prescribed, so I think a lot of these dates that we're looking at, like January to March, it's a little more flexible than that,
right,
and changes occasionally.
So the question, this is what I'm hearing, so I may be interpreting it wrong, so please definitely correct me. That's the case. But the question I might ask is, does this need to be in policies and procedures, or is this an onboarding, part of the onboarding process of new council members? And it's in that booklet, pamphlet, manual, let's say, as to this is one of the priorities for the council, or one of the functions of the council, and this is an example of a timeline for that function.
I tend to agree on the idea that the policy itself, I don't know that most of it has much of a purpose. I feel like it's covered elsewhere, and it changes or is under the purview of committee for a lot of those things. What I do like and feel like is valuable is the idea that once the council votes on the summit on these things, then we have a mandate to do those, and then that after that, that DPH acts on those things. So that's the part. So I'm looking specifically at August, and then September through December seem like valuable sections. I don't know that this whole policy needs to stay. That's up to the group. We could also put a pin in it and see what else we have for like the letter of concurrence and see if we want to combine those. And just start a policy just around our summit. We were also talking about prioritization and allocation summit no longer seems to be like an all-encompassing title. So maybe a new title. Do we want to jump over this policy and look at UNCOM?
So if I can reiterate, yes. So my sense is that we need to mention it somehow in the greater policies and procedures, but not in this much detail and nuances.
Okay.
But, and secondly, that we need to give this today to say, This is one of the components that he already does of education and training for a new counselor.
Okay.
And somewhere in here should have something about our occurrence, lateral concurrence, and prevention. Someone should, it should be here. Their timeline and our timeline should match.
Mm-hmm. So you'd still like to see a policy that includes a timeline, a rough timeline that includes both activities?
Usually they do their current letter of concurrence on summer?
So it has to be submitted with the report in September. So a letter of concurrence needs to be done by the beginning of September.
So it's about the right timing that both letters should be going at this same time, and the timeline should be arranged that way. It has to be somewhere, but I agree with Ken, it should be on the training with Dave, but it has to be home somewhere, some committee.
Okay.
I'm not sure committee wise, but just in the policy and procedures itself, so, and I like Ali's idea of combining it together with concurrence prior to setting a resource allocation or due at such and such a time.
Right.
And incorporate ABC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're probably the best folks to find where that is. So I would say let's move on with that.
Okay. Okay. We can look at the next page then, page 3, unfunds. So, and then did you want to?
Yes. So, last meeting I said I would go back to Tracy and ask her just because the question about whether there's a unfund policy or around the CDC funds. So I went back and talked with her about it. There's not anything in the CDC guidance about how unspent funds are spent, but what the department has done is because the prevention side used to do 5-year plans, the department would go back to that 5-year plan and see where it didn't fund or it needed to increase funds or do needs assessments around the priorities that had been already laid out for the next 5 years, and that's how those funds were then redirected and spent. So it wasn't coming back to the council for approval each year. It was going back to that plan that the council had already approved for the 5-year period to then use those funds. So I think, and you can, we were on the council at the same time when we were doing a lot of those needs assessments, and a lot of that was from unspent carry forward money.
Yeah, I think the issue with this is where we hit that fine line between care having mandated responsibilities and prevention being advisory. And so it makes sense if we're going to have two of these pots of money that we at least address both sides in the same policy, if you will. It's just how we do that. It doesn't sound like the prevention side wants to have the same level of transparency about it that care side has to have about it by the nature of it.
I don't know if it's not wanting to have the level of transparency. It's just, it's not, you're right, it's not mandated to have that level of oversight by the planning council. So that's been kind of in the way, because funds aren't known until a certain time, and then having to either re-RFP and stuff like that sometimes can be very difficult. I think that's what's led to saying, okay, instead of bringing it back to the council each year, we have this plan that they've approved and set as the priorities for the next 5 years. So we're using that as our guiding document on how these funds will be spent. So that's where we did a lot of the substance use and mental health assessments. Some of that carried forward money was used for that, and so on.
So I think that what this means for this is that we don't have any purview over CDC rollover funds and funds. We don't have any purview. We do have purview and should be touching any unfunds that come through for Ryan White Part A, which I think is why this policy is still applies.
But don't you think?
I think that what you're saying, if you want that delineated, then what we can add, especially maybe even in the background section somewhere in here, is that we're specifically talking about Ryan White Part A funds because the council has purview over how those funds are allocated, whereas we do not have purview over CDC funds that come through this way.
It's sort of like in all this, because there's another level as well. Because there's the funds that are left on the table through the administrative component of care, which in the past, administration and care has made that decision of where those funds go to. And we technically don't have purview over those either. So it sounds like just having a good explanation that there are many types of however you want to call them, leftovers or unfunded, pots of unfunded money. Some of those, the council will have purview over. Those include these, and maybe delineating at the end that unfunds or leftover funds on the prevention side is handled by, and unfunds leftover on the administrative. What's the way to call that, Kevin? You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about unspent administrative.
Right. Yeah, so maybe just saying there are types of unfunds. Here are the three types, and the council has purview on this type, and then going into.
I don't think the unfunds, the administrative, anything that comes through that doesn't qualify as like unfunded, so we have purview over, right? That's cool. Like that's like
right.
Contract management. Right?
That's what he said.
That's what I said.
So,
yeah,
that's but that's not a separate type than a Ryan White Party unfund, right?
Is well, it's a form. I guess what I'm saying is, in the past, we've had confusion because people hear these pots of money, and they aren't always clear that of these three leftover funds, if you will, or however the uniform way you want to call these, we only have purview over one of three types. The type that comes from CDC, the type that comes from the
okay.
administrative contract, we do not have purview under. We do have purview under
okay.
the third one, and then here's what we do.
Okay. So what it sounds like you're talking about is maybe this definition section, and maybe you want to start just like getting into that. Okay. So we'll just look at page 3 under definitions. So this is the types of funds that we have delineated. What do you want added to this?
Kevin, help us. What are you going to call yours? And Jose, call yours.
I mean, how Allie initiated this. I mean, I wouldn't want to say we don't have the planning council does not have purview over the administrative unspent administrative dollars. It's true, but I wouldn't want because we may want to go above and beyond what the statutory requirements are. If it's a true partnership, then you want to do something, to get some input on how to spend dollars that are made.
Well, maybe it's just then saying that for both of these and saying in these two areas, the council needs accident advisory capacity.
Yeah, okay.
And then in these last two, all over and unobligated, they act in a whatever directive.
I said okay.
I think we get into the idea of like talking about everything we don't have control over.
Well,
specifically
look to my colleague here. If you, because the reason, Allie, is I'm saying, then when these come up, we're sometimes surprised and saying, hey, we didn't hear that you had leftover funds and you spent them for food vouchers, this, and this. Because we were doing that as well, and if we had known you were doing that, maybe we wouldn't have done as much. So in some ways, it's the frustration of clearly knowing, yes, there are other funded groups that we don't have purview over, but we may be asked, I mean, just something that gives us some clarification. And Allie, your suggestion is, if we don't have purview, don't talk about it.
I don't think that's my suggestion.
Okay.
I feel aware that this is a policy around unfunds specifically, and I mean, one of our other mandates is to know about other funding streams that impact service provision of our clients. So I would never say that something we don't have direct purview over isn't important.
I didn't mean to say you.
I think that, I understand.
Why do you hate on that?
Just kidding. So it's like, do you want to stay in the realm of just unfunds on this policy? Because I almost wonder if we're getting into like what is the purpose of the council and what can the council do?
I guess I only brought it up because the similarity is the closest similarities for those two areas. Because
mm-hmm.
both of them.
And when I read this, it's clear to me what the council has purview over. It says right there in the background, and it's specifically about the Ryan White Part A funds. And because this is completely new to me, so I'm asking the new guy question, is the administrative cost that you were referring to, is that part of it, Ryan White?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's where the confusion gets into.
I can see where it's confusing.
Yeah. And there's also, I mean, I feel like it's like the further we go back, the more complicated it gets and like how much context we have. Like even the idea of how we like allocate dollars like, isn't the same with CDC. They're not like comparable. It's
right.
BRPs that we're, you know, we do with CDC.
And percentages versus actual
right.
dollar amounts.
Kevin, do you have additions that you feel like would be relevant here?
No, I mean, I...
Or framing?
I would frame it
mm-hmm.
By perhaps citing the Ryan White Care Act's, the statutory citation that it states, you know, planning council by statute has purview, or whatever word you want to use, over these dollars, or Part A dollars. There are other streams with which the planning council assumes an advisory role, Part B, for example, general fund. I just hesitate to spell it out to the detail that Ken suggests. Not that I can point to an instance where it really poses a problem, but it just seems overly restrictive.
In which case, don't go into detail. I'm just saying, mention it so that people are aware that, you know, so when it comes up that, you know, it wasn't that we were being withheld information, it's just that it is because they are all types of unspent monies.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's it. Maybe if we change the name and use something else, then it can be recategorized.
But then again, I mean, we do have to be careful about language too, because administrative dollars are not the right part of dollars. Just it needs to be clearly stated that these are funds that are spent by a grantee on administrative chores connected to a grant.
So I'm going to throw out a potential starting point for something. What if we add somewhere, in addition, the HCPC may have advisory capacity over other unspent dollars.
I like that, actually.
It doesn't specify what, it doesn't say they have, it's leaving it open, and it allows
And by not spelling it out, who knows what other funds do. We may want to come to the planning council and say, we've got a spend problem. We need your input. But you don't technically have statutory oversight of these dollars, but you need, as representatives of the community, you need your input. I like that channel.
Because Chep has always seen and partnered with its council as a... for all its dollars, whether it's administering SAMHSA dollars or CDC dollars, general fund, or if we get special dollars like campus dollars, we come back to the council and use it as an advisory group. We came back to the council and use it as an advisory group in that sense.
Is that work for you?
Well, I think if people can help with a word between other and funding, other leftover, other, you know, so that you understand we're putting it in here because there are other funds that are left on the table. This is what we're talking about. Because that's where unfunds are, and maybe the issue is changing the policy name from unfunds to unspent funds or something. Do people, and maybe
yeah.
I'm just an off base on this.
No, I mean, because I'm reading the definition of how we come into the money, whether it's budgets, whether it's services that aren't used or whatever, right? There needs to be a particular word of money that's not used but needs to be used.
Right. I think that word is unfunds, isn't that? I think that's the word that we get from.
You define it as such later.
Right.
So
can we use that word? Does that word?
So you,
I think
long
it captures.
So other unfunding stream, underfunded.
Over unfunds from other funding streams. Does that sound okay? Does everyone?
Yeah, and then are there different like under the definitions, different categories of these unfunds, depending on where they come from?
Because I think each...
For instance, if it's money that's not spent, or if it's a CDC supplemental to EMAs, or...
Well, I think what they're saying is these two, yes, but the rest, the types, they don't want to really name.
Okay.
They don't want to get into, because it just... opens up another ball of wax. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, the way you have it there with specifying unfunds, you're kind of limiting it to unencumbered or unspent dollars, when in fact it may be a brand new funding stream.
But Ali said that those are already directed somewhere else, right? When we talk.
So it should, I mean, it should be. So what we could do instead of that is we can say may have advisory capacity over other funding streams, including unfunds through other funding streams or something.
Okay.
So it's like all encompassing.
Cool.
Including
really
covering all bases.
Right.
Does that sound okay to folks?
So
do we want to add Kevin's suggestion of like a citation from the Rand White Care Act that stipulates that we have purview over
I don't
the
have any dogs in that fire, I think it's widely understood that Part A funds, those funds that are programmatic in the way, definitely the spending of those dollars are determined by the funding council. I wouldn't side statute on this. That probably doesn't belong in
PNP. Sure. But adding that the council can decide how these funds are spent? I don't know that. I don't think that's in there.
So, before we leave it, that last sentence, shouldn't it be unfunds from other sources?
From other, through other funding streams, yeah. Through other funding streams, right.
Yeah.
So just copy. May have advisory capacity over other funding streams, including unfunds from other funding streams. Is that right? But if it's Part A, then we do have purview.
No, he's saying Part A because technically Part A does cover the administrative component, yet we don't have... It's a fine nuance where everybody's trying not to say something that causes problems, but basically it's... the administrative part doesn't want to necessarily say we've saved these funds, and rather than jumping through all these hoops, we'd like some flexibility in how we use these and not have to go through this. And these, in fact, are monies that we've saved. And we are giving them to a good cause, and we always know that. And of late, they are telling us, too, which is helpful. But they just don't want to get into having to have us have to do it, is my understanding.
I think that's fair.
Sure.
Bearing in mind, it makes sense that we come to you when that's reasonable. You know, these funds should be the purposes of those dollars and the Part A dollars should be considered in coordination.
Right.
I think that's a good thing. But I kind of think in a P&P document, the less said, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Which piece?
Well, the last part of that last sentence there, either.
So, in addition...
Other funding streams, including unfunds.
Can we put a comma after
funding
the first funding streams?
Could you say from other sources?
Sure.
Okay, so. Yeah.
On that first...
Yeah.
All right, why don't you just start to do those other sources? And that way we're not getting so specific, because other sources could be, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
So like you say, we're alluding to it, so we're being transparent about it,
mm-hmm.
but we're not ignoring it.
Okay. Good. Great. Do we feel okay about background section? Great. Woo. Now, into definition section. Was there any sections that you feel should be added?
Say that again.
Any sections that you feel like should be added for definitions?
Well, I just wonder, under definitions, because we've used unfunds, shouldn't we say the type of funds that the council has purview under are as follows? So in other words, our definitions of rollover unobligated relate to funds that we have purview under. because otherwise somebody would want us to say, well, what are the other funds that we don't have purview under? So tell me, so we get into just what Kevin's saying is, in policy and procedure, the less the better in all this. But if you're calling it a definition, to not include all the definitions, you kind of have to preface it by saying the types of funds the council has purview under are as follows, or something like that.
Well, I think this is a general definition. So even monies that we don't have purview over would be covered under this, right? Like this would cover CDC funds. It's just like a general working definition.
Good. Oh.
Yeah. Roll over.
Right? Because you can use the same language to apply this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it kind of then begs the question, if we say that, then isn't someone going to say, well, wait a minute, so rollover funds and unobligated funds, how do we know which ones we do and which ones we don't? Is there going to be some reference point? I mean, we said it earlier.
I think we do kind of spell it out earlier.
Mm-hmm. And I think later, too. It's like the under the process section. Maybe need to spell that further there too, in the process of how we allocate those funds.
I will say that the CDC definition of rollover, or what, how we call them, carry forward funds, is the same. Right. So, and what they can be used on is again similar to what the definition is there on one time projects, consultations, stuff like that.
Is it similar enough that we can do HRSA / CDC in that section?
Okay.
Great.
Do you have to ask CDC? Can you spend?
Yeah, I want to say like 99% sure.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a whole process, yes, because there's deadlines and we have to spell it out and stuff like that. That, again, happens at the level above me.
So just to kind of go back, because in terms of policy and how you were talking about how we respond to these extra funds and so forth, so with the CARE, it goes through the council in terms of the previous allocation and prioritizations, but with CDC on the prevention side, it doesn't necessarily do that. They just, the health department just follow the plan, and okay. But overall, what we do is we follow the prioritizations and allocations set before for both care and prevention.
So some examples, like I said earlier, were the substance use and mental health needs assessment, as well as the work group and follow up to that. The council have identified. In that whole process, a need for a revamping of the harm reduction.
Mm-hmm.
There was projects that were brought on to have a consultant to work on the harm reduction stuff. So that's how it ends up. So it all ends up tying back to the priorities set forth by the council for the CDC.
So in a way, you just went back to the plan.
Right.
They're not approving it, but they have to approve it because she already submitted a plan, and that's how. Exactly the same way does the council work.
Right. And the CDC, if it didn't tie back to what the work that was already being done, would it approve it?
Mm-hmm.
So how do folks feel about the definition section with the addition of HRSA / CDC? So use and expenditure of unfunds? Is this another situation where it's similar enough to CDC to add that, or?
I don't know about the second line. I'm going to look that line. Under
use and expenditure, rollover funds.
Second line.
Second line.
Which sentence are we looking at?
The second sentence, this may include The amount necessary to cover any reductions in the annual grant from HRSA.
I mean, that, I suppose that's kind of a very opaque reference to a carry forward request, but it doesn't make any sense.
What do folks feel about striking that sentence?
Second sentence.
This may
not necessarily cover any reduction.
Okay.
So is it the same thing that the city funds have to be used before the end of the fiscal year?
CDC, yes.
Which is when it seems like it's easy enough to say both.
I think we're on different fiscal cycles. Because of March,
yeah,
we're September. Or actually October 1st, yeah.
So at some, like maybe during the process section, we should spell out that the voting that we do for carry forward dollars is specific to HRSA requirements. Do people feel okay about this use and expenditure section? I think that the bullets that we see under unobligated funds, I think those might even just be taken from our HRSA language. Kevin, Mark, does that sound right?
Sure.
I don't think that's something we determine.
It doesn't sound wrong.
Like, I don't think that we get to decide what the eligibility requirements
are.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense. I'm sure I doubt we'll come up with those.
Yeah. Okay. So folks feel okay about that section?
Someone that vouchers for food and transportation would only be care, it would be CDC. I'm just wondering if maybe we put in parentheses if some of these don't relate to both, just so that there's no confusion, or that we say unobligated funds are only care funds and not.
Prevention does not have any funding stream specific to vouchers for food or transportation. So,
or is it nebulous enough by saying maybe you could? I don't know.
That's a good point, man. You're speaking of the last arrow specifically that was for any problem with. CDC dollars.
Or what about even emergency financial assistance? Is that something that would be CDC?
No, I don't think so. You might ought to just specify it under unobligated care funds.
Yeah, I think that would solve this problem.
Unobligated care funds.
Yeah.
Or unobligated Ryan White Part A.
Yeah. I don't know that you cannot spend CDC dollars on any of these things. It's been too long since I've dealt with that.
I just haven't heard of that.
I haven't either.
I'm looking at these and I just, besides special projects or consultants, I just don't feel like I've heard that. In particular around vouchers. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess those needs assessments.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. I think we take care of it. We just specify carry dollars and leave prevention to be covered by
Roller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if there's more information when this gets reviewed by the full council, just be added in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Just shove it off to somebody else. Something.
Yeah, the full group.
Great.
That's how we have our presentation.
Okay. Under process, I'd recommend changing the last, the second sentence. Because the recommendations from the grantee are actually provided at the very first committee meeting that the
carry forward allocation occurs. So I would just, my advice would be just to change it to, the grantee will also provide recommendations for expenditures of these funds.
Period.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, for review. Of these funds for review.
Great.
I don't even think you need will. Just the grantee also provides. I mean, it's kind of directive.
Yeah, and it is a directive, but it's one that we ask for every year.
But as before you were here, we were just talking about the administrative funds. They don't necessarily have to.
Well, they don't come to us at all for that, usually.
Sometimes,
yeah. They usually give us a reporting on how it's been spent. Not usually, they always give a report.
Right.
Which is why I was saying take out will, just say also provide, because sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Are you speaking about administrative dollars?
I thought we were talking more about the unfunds.
I don't think we need to reference that.
They're formal.
Okay. It's different.
Yeah, totally different.
Do folks feel okay about the section now that with the removal of those two sections?
Sure. Is this eligibility criteria? I'm sorry. We're not.
We're good with process, right? Mm-hmm. Check. Okay.
Is this eligibility criteria still is that current, Kevin? I assume so. I haven't heard otherwise.
Also, is it necessary to have contractor eligibility in our PNP? Something we have no control over, right?
Good point.
I would tend to say that's
a really good
procurement issue. It ought not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys okay with striking that?
Yep.
Great.
Good point.
Great.
Good
so
eyes.
We have one policy. Each section has been checked, but do we want to do a vote on the full thing right now?
So is this the first,
yeah.
The first policy you've gone through? Okay. Chuck?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Is there Elaine at the house? No. Is there a Wade in the house? No.
Mm-hmm.
Ron?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Charles?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Carries?
Elaine. We already go. Sorry.
Yep.
Passes. Great. One down. Okay. Next, we have the CCC letter of concurrence process.
So we skip priority setting, or is that already done?
We talked about it a bit. I think there's a couple of pieces that folks want to keep and maybe just insert into another policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe this policy, dare I say?
I mean, from going back to the priority setting, the only thing that could change right now would be the names of the committees.
Great.
Is there interest in reviewing that policy again?
Why don't we come back to this policy after the summit? We could do a lessons learned thing there.
Sure. How do folks feel about that? Tabling the party setting and resource allocation? Okay.
Okay, letter of concurrence. Changed so much over the years.
Uh-huh.
So this is the, according to the CDC, this is now the Planning Council's only requirement to do. That's the CDC's vision. The Health Department has seen that the level of, or values the level of partnership between the Planning Council and the department. So we've tended to go above and beyond what the CDC guidance says. So this is the letter of concurrence process as it's spelled out from the guidance. So it's required annually. Currently it's required annually. I've heard potential rumors that it may go go with the plans. I don't know if you've heard that from the host society. But but that was something they were throwing around as a potential thing to do. So
you mean do a writing?
Every year, yeah. So, but now it's required every year, and so there's three options: the concurrence, concurrence with reservations, or no concurrence, and then signed by the representatives designated by the Prevention Planning Council, which is usually the co-chairs.
If they have a letter of non-concurrence, isn't there supposed to be a letter of justification or something undated?
It says in detail why
right.
it's submitting non-concurrence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I assume that's the letter.
That sounds like
it's a full detail. It has happened 4 or 5 times in the history of letters of concurrence, and CDC usually comes out and...
4 or 5 times across the country? Or
across
us?
The country.
Oh, okay.
Across the country. No, no, no.
With us at all?
In my time with the council, no. There was 1 year there was almost.
Almost with
yeah,
reservations.
Yeah,
was
there was non-concurrence, but there have been...
Do
you have to provide reasons for reservations?
Right. So it's very detailed. So currently the letter of concurrence says that the council concurs with the funding allocations for that cycle. It lists the, it also has listed out the process for reviewing the jurisdictional plan. So it details any community engagements, plan meetings, stuff like that. It also...
Does it say that in here?
It describes the process used by the HPPC to review the jurisdictional plan.
Right, and then what you just said about before that, about the funding matching the...
That's needs. What concurrence is.
But I'm asking if that's in the policy at all. Like, what is concurrence?
Oh, would it be that? Would it be that third bullet point?
Whether the HPPC concurs with the jurisdictional HIV prevention plan, it doesn't spell it out.
Yeah,
like it does spell the guidance spells out what concurrence means.
Okay.
Can we have that concurrence? Maybe can we put that in here?
That's
the definition of what
added.
Concurrence is.
Yeah, because I guess I'm not seeing that basic. Slide that people appear to be voting on, which is, you know, which I think people are voting, from my experience, on the prevention plan, but they're actually also voting very specifically on that slide that shows BRPs
mm-hmm.
equals funding amounts. I think that should be spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, I think you're right, you should lift the language from the guidance.
What concurrence is, so
just,
we should
just lift it straight
yeah.
word for word, because there's a certain amount of latitude that's left for each individual.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe each, as a third paragraph before the following must be included, since it's so key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just right in there, what is concurrence?
And of course, every word where it says HPPC, you should just say CHPC. Community HIV Planning Council?
HCPC.
HIV Community.
You're going to get it, though.
I will.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
HCPC. HCPC. Co-chair.
Community is the word that's referenced.
It's actually easier than
it is.
Actually, it is. Have a new card so you can look at it.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So this is just my own, perhaps reading level being low. But the last sentence, or actually, is this the only sentence? This seems just like a really, really long sentence. The first one.
That is.
I don't see a period.
Sentence?
That is one sentence.
Yes.
I feel like
that's
we nice. Maybe should unpack it a little bit.
What are we talking about?
So the first paragraph is not actually a paragraph, it is a sentence. This is what happens when you have health educators writing the policy.
Oh, I see. That's a man.
And I think that might have actually been my sentence, and I am notorious for run-on sentences, so.
It does make sense, though, once you read it slowly.
Yeah,
yes.
It does.
It actually does. There's a whole bunch of things.
I thought it was a whole
equals
paragraph.
This.
It's just large words.
Yeah.
Well, here's an idea. What if we broke it into bullet points towards the end? That the jurisdictional HIV prevention plan, then like colon, and then demonstrates a collaborative, coordinated, results-oriented approach, or like...
It's only two bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just really hard to unpack. When it, like, I was looking at that sentence when I was looking for what is concurrent.
Maybe
concurrence.
We could put a one and a two in there. Demonstrates, parentheses, one, parentheses,
okay.
A collaborative,
yeah.
Blah, 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 and two, results-oriented approach.
Yeah.
Why not make that sentence longer with the addition of a one and a two? But at least the eye will go to the one and
well,
two.
Well, we could, yeah,
oh,
we could put them on different lines at least or something.
Yeah, yeah, that looks better.
Yeah.
Sorry, what would two be then? So, I'm sorry, where were you guys envisioning the two?
So, the one is the jurisdictional HIV prevention plan. That's what one is. And then two is result oriented.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, I would have thought you break it right after demonstrates. So, jurisdictional HIV prevention plan demonstrates one, a collaborative.
Oh,
right, right.
And two, whatever
demonstrates.
The next one. Is.
Yes, so one.
And
there.
Isn't results oriented connected to the plan?
Yes.
Yeah, so then
and
two
it's an approach to the services.
Yeah.
And that the services, two seems like the services, that the services are directed to populations in geographic
areas.
Yeah, because
that's that page. Treatment services equals BRP. Yeah.
Mm.
So
I feel like almost that it's still, that one should still be at the jurisdictional plan. Right? Because the services are independent of the plan, right?
Yeah.
But it's the plans talking to the services.
Yes.
So that's all.
But the...
So the letter...
It's about the budget, though, isn't it? Isn't it about the allocation, the proportion of funds that are allocated?
And the plan.
It's about two things. It's about the budget and the plan. Okay, so this shows...
He's saying it's about the budget that's in the plan, but...
Oh, really? Is the budget a part of that plan?
It's not in the plan, but because the plan has to be approved each year as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was much easier when they let us do 5-year plans. Mm-hmm. Now they made us do 1-year plans.
Care. So it's care and treatment services for the end of number one. And then the second one is that services are directed... Oh, keep
so,
the services. We have to repeat services.
Oh.
Is that everyone's understanding? That services?
Yeah.
CDC-funded services or something?
Right, because this is specific to CDC.
Are directed.
Funded services. Yeah. And so maybe a colon after... care and treatment services, and then and.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's a good technique.
Another life.
Oh, but right before
after
our services.
Yeah.
Colon.
Semicolon.
And then
and. Semicolon.
Yeah. Perfect. That looks good to me.
And then I don't know, concurrence is still a good thing to get that definition in there, but this pretty much defines both of the things they're voting on, even if it's one vote. Plan. And funding.
Right.
So maybe we work from this and then bring back the language from the CDC and see if it's duplicative.
And then I think the next paragraph goes over to the left. I mean, not to get my
yeah. And a hyphen after CDC funding. CDC.
Yes.
Just to be that guy.
Yeah.
So with that change and with potential addition of the concurrence language, is there any other changes that folks see?
Because I think it would be one word than CDC-funded. right? Is that what you mean, Kevin?
Yeah, so backspace, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's technically one word.
We're getting in there.
That's stone unturned. Anything else that looks...
So it does detail that if there's a concurrence with reservations, that the letter must provide a detailed reason why. And then if it's not concurrence, it needs to provide reasons why they're submitting non-concurrence. That could potentially be clex, saying the same thing. It could be clef to say if the HCPC concurs with reservations or does not concur the letter.
Sure.
That way it's one less bullet. How do people feel about that?
Yeah. Sorry, can you go back? We're looking at, so under the following must be included in the letter, we're looking at bullets 4 and 5.
I'm going to do what with them?
So after
concurs with reservation or does not concur, the letter must provide in detail the reasons why it is submitting a concurrence with reservations or non-concurrence. Or non-concurrence. Concurrence, yeah. And then so if HCPC concurs with reservations or does not concur. Right there with the, before the comma.
Wait, sorry.
So it would be like, is that what you guys understood
yeah.
of that? Okay. So
or.
Or does not concur. Does that sound okay?
Then signed by the pictures.
Yep. So this policy look okay? Do you want us to bring it back with the addition of the concurrence, or do you want to vote on it now?
Let's just go ahead and vote on it. Because
okay.
All you're doing is you're putting direct language, right?
Yeah. We'll still probably, I feel like we'll probably bring it back, and it could be a quick approval so that you guys can take a look at it, but we can do a tentative approval. Does that sound good?
If we're not the same people, I'm afraid.
I'm literally looking for a language so I can.
Oh.
So we can at least hear it and then we can make an educated.
Do we want to move on while. And come back to it, or?
Yeah, because if
okay.
we could wrap this up today, that would be great.
Great. Okay.
Conflict
of interest.
Should give them plenty of time.
So, the conflict of interest policy, my thoughts on it are that the former care council's mandate is like it sort of supersedes the previous prevention conflict of interest policy. Because it's stringent and mandated. How do folks feel about working from the care policy, which is on the second page, which is page 8? Does that sound okay? At least that's your understanding here, right? Cool. So let's just start working from the middle where it says HHSPC on page 8. It starts with an interesting sentence about membership. And goes into the sort of definition of what your conflict of interest is.
It does seem like it's an awkward first sentence.
I do see why. I mean, I think that there's a reason you don't want to like flood a council with one organization's
why
staff,
don't we have it be the last line then? Because it's not really related to the second sentence
yeah.
or what follows. And so the first sentence would be the more natural one.
Yeah.
Council members shall follow the conflict of interest guidelines. And then
yeah.
the numbered stuff, and then the membership committee will
add it to as like number six? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's separate.
I guess just the question.
Take it
separate.
Out.
Have
okay.
We ever
make it a last a standalone sentence? The last
okay.
one.
Have we ever thrown somebody down because we had too many people?
There's been discussion. Absolutely. I don't know if we've turned anyone down. I kind of don't think so. But there has definitely come up. When I first joined the council, when the council was, I think, more dominated by service providers, it was a membership of the committee that I joined first, and it was an ongoing topic.
Okay.
It came to me, actually, since I was a Shanti person, there was a Shanti board member.
So do you want to just go item by item? So first one. Sound okay? I wonder if we should spell out what that means here.
What means?
Like the what your conflict of interest is that it's if you're on the board or.
Is that in the bylaws already now?
Sounds right.
I
can't remember.
I thought it was in the bylaws.
Okay.
I could be wrong. If someone has the bylaws handy.
Okay.
I was an Eagle Scout.
There's also the line about to act only on behalf of the broadly affected HIV community. Sounds fine. If we want to like
yeah, there's a
use
large,
the language,
there's
of
a large paragraph right here on conflict of interest, on the second page. I'll read
it's
it out.
Pretty limited pecuniary interest.
Yeah, I'll read it out loud, but I don't see a need to really plop this back in because they could just go back to the bylaws. It says the council should be governed by the requirements for the reporting of economic interests established by the California Fair Political Practices Commission, pursuant to the California Code Section 87100. Including the filing of annual statements of economic interest. In addition, pursuant to the Ryan White legislation, the council, its members, or its director may not be directly involved in the administration of a Part A grant, may not designate particular entities as recipients of any amounts of Part A funding, and individuals serving on the planning council or its director who have a financial interest as defined in Government Code Section 87100 or are members of a public or private entity seeking Part A funding will not participate directly or in an advisory capacity in the process of selecting entities to receive Part A funding within that particular service category. So really straightforward language.
Mm-hmm. Super.
But I think literally that last part of that last sentence spells it out. No procurement of support. Right? And be aware of who you work for or who you're on the board. But I suppose, like, I mean, it's such a, that's so, it's so wordy that, I mean, maybe we do want to have a little more down-to-earth description of conflict of interest.
Sure. Like, the definition, I kind of agree that it's covered in that, but I think that these, a lot of these items still have, like, procedural value. Like, I'm looking at 3 through 5. I feel like there is, like, clarifications for, like, common questions there. Were you saying that you think that we should just take the policy out and rely, just lean on the bylaws policy?
Oh, no.
Or, okay.
No.
Or just that we don't need, like, a further definition?
I said that at first, but then after I read that, I thought maybe we do.
Okay.
Like, something that says conflict of interest is defined as an individual council.
Sure.
Is conflict of interest is held by a council member with a fiscal relationship to an agency providing Ryan White Party services?
That's very digestible.
Yeah. You can be a volunteer. Right?
Absolutely.
You
can be a volunteer or on a community advisory board.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With no conflict.
So do you want to have that as a bullet or a separate definition? What is held by a council member?
I think because the first sentence now says shall follow the guidelines. It's not a guideline. It is it's a definition.
Maybe as the first sentence?
Yes.
Who has a fiscal relationship with an agency providing Ryan White Party funds? Services? Sorry. they're maybe not providing. Yes, sorry.
So technically,
they're just providing.
If you're working for the health department, that doesn't count.
Right.
It's a good question.
We should maybe have a bullet about that.
Right. I mean, we are.
This is
as complicit as anybody else.
But you're.
But
there's.
We don't know.
There's something. No, but if you're.
Do we want to say providing Ryan White Party services or.
Oh, yeah.
Or receiving Ryan White Party funds?
You have to state your conflicts.
I feel like receiving.
Well, they are providing Ryan White Party services. And they're receiving Ryan White
right.
Party
it's like
funds.
Which one is easier?
So, with an agency providing, I think providing is either one is fine. But if we're going to have providing in there, we also have to have a parenthetical or may provide. Like there's that perceived part as well. So what sounds better, receiving or may receive, parenthetical Ryan White Party funds, or providing or may provide Ryan White Party services, whatever the group feels. It's kind of the same difference.
So there are there's just for like for the state you only have to declare if you are actually receiving Ryan White Party funds. What we're saying is that there's that perceived or actual interest,
so
which is
change
per se,
is to
right?
May a conflict of interest may be held.
Yeah.
And because there's fiscal there, why don't we do what Allie suggested with an agency
receiving.
Ryan White. Or may receive Ryan White Party funds.
Yeah.
When you say fiscal relationship, you mean being employed by
or managing the agency as a board of directors would.
We could put that in parentheses if that's helpful. Staff or executive board member.
Yeah, after fiscal services do, e.g., agency staff or board members.
Or after agency, fiscal relationship with an agency.
Yeah.
E.g., staff or executive board member. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And then maybe that receives or may receive. You can just remove the parenthetical, I guess. Too many parentheticals makes
great.
Sense. Okay. Receives or may receive. Right. Yeah, so just take the parenthetical out of or may receive. And then put the EG business in parenthetical.
Great. Does that look good to folks? Yeah.
So work back again.
Yeah, I mean, especially here where you have such an expansive health department, if you are in receipt of Part A dollars, I think that you have to discuss that.
But isn't there something that overrides that somewhere?
PERSA does not consider a government employee.
Oh, is that right?
To have a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
However,
the individual council member should be following their own determination.
But I think you have to let them know they don't have to. But
yeah, we do.
We could have that as a bullet point, just say that HRSA does not consider government employees to have a conflict of interest. And that, I feel like, divorces you from, like, the responsibility of saying, like, we don't, I don't know. Like, you're not saying that.
But like council doesn't do it, but you still have to.
Yeah, I think that's
say
potentially,
members
like,
may.
I don't think
super
you say
gray
you have
area
to. I think you say
even.
Even
controversial.
Or encouraged or something
okay.
like that.
Sorry.
I think
well,
we say you don't have to, but we can say you were encouraged to or something
well,
like that.
I don't know about that.